Wonderful to be in the house of the Lord. Wonderful to be reminded, as we heard some of the testimonies tonight, of what God has brought us from, the places in life that He's brought us from. Each one of us has come a different route. Each one has his or her own personal story. But here we are. By the grace of God, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I don't know, I'm thinking by the end of a certain amount of years, every person here will have at least had one opportunity to stand here and just share what the Lord has done. Now, with the young people's ministry, they figured out a way to just get a whole lot of people out at one time. They do this thing called cardboard ministry or cardboard testimonies, and it's really awesome. I don't know if you've ever seen this wonderful expression of God's grace, but what happens is each person will come, and they will hold up just a plank of cardboard, and on the one side, they would have just a few words that bear witness to where they've been, to what they've gone through. And then they stand and they just flip the card over. And on the other side, there is this, as it were, transformation. All of a sudden, you see what God has done. Amen. Every testimony, praise the Lord. Every testimony ultimately is God's testimony. So whenever we give a testimony, we're not just telling you our story. You're not just telling us your story. We are each telling the other God's story. We're basically saying this is who the Lord is, and this is what the Lord does, and this is how the Lord saves, and this is how the Lord heals. So in a very real sense, while we all have our own individual testimonies, at the same time, we all have basically one story to tell. That is His story. It's God's glory. It's His praise. Hallelujah. Well, I'm saying all that to say one time Pastor Patrick asked me if I would speak on a Friday night. And when I came, they told me that they were going to do the cardboard testimony, thing. And so I didn't know. They already had a cardboard waiting for me when I got here, you know what I'm talking about? So I had to make a couple of corrections, a little bit of white out over here and there. I didn't want to get too graphic. You know what I'm talking about. No, I'm only joking. So I held up my cardboard, and I can't remember exactly what it said, but if you were to ask me now what it would say, on the one side of it, it would say homeless, it would say helpless, and it would say hopeless. Because basically that's what I was. I had no place. I had no sense of security. I was roaming the streets of New York City, not staying in any one place for any length of time. For about 3.5 years, just constantly moving, constantly going. I slept in the trains. I had to be mobile. I slept in the parks or whatever the case might be. I just felt like I could never settle down. Just didn't feel like I belonged. I was just wandering, if you will. And as far as helpless, I just wouldn't ask anybody's help. Couldn't receive anybody's help. I wasn't in a position where I allowed myself to trust anybody to the degree of even stretching out my hand and asking somebody to help me in any way, shape, or form. I was just completely isolated. And, of course, I was hopeless. That was the reason that I was out there in the first place. Total depression, total despondency, total despair. I just didn't have any sense that anything made any sense. And if I were to flip the card over, this is what I would put now. I would put worshiper, I would put witness, and I would put warrior. Because, amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Amen. Because that's what God has done. See, that's God's story. So as I was speaking that night, I said, I don't know how thick this cardboard is, But I would say, you know, a lot of years have been stuffed, you know what I mean, into whatever with that is, you know, because it's a process by which God does a certain thing. But I know that God will begin a thing, and he will begin it immediately the minute we recognize that we don't want to be what's on that side of the cardboard anymore. We want to be something else. Now, when God came to me, basically what he said was, I don't want you to be what's on that side of the cardboard, and this is what I want you to be. In fact, when he came to me, he came and said, I'm looking to recruit you. Basically, that's what I got from God. He wasn't simply saying, I'm looking to save you, and just to save you from this struggle or that trouble, or, you know, to give you a place to live, or to give you a sense of hope, or to give you help. He didn't stop there. For him, it was, I am searching out. I'm looking for somebody who will worship me. And I'm looking for somebody who will bear witness to my goodness, who will tell my story. And I'm looking for somebody who will wage war against all these things that had you in this place and in this position. Not only in your own life, but you will wage war against these things, even in the lives of other people. Now, when we read our Bible, we hear of a story of a certain woman. She goes to a certain well, and she finds Jesus there, and Jesus begins to speak to her and say, hey, I need a drink. You know, will you give me some water? She's perplexed that he would even speak to her, you know, and then she begins to ask him some questions, and he begins to answer those questions, and then he begins to tell her some things. And among the things that he tells her is the Lord is basically recruiting right now, and he's looking for worshipers. And he's looking for people who will worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, when this woman came to Jesus, her home and her home life was wrecked. The Bible said that she had been married 5 times, and now she was living with somebody with whom she was not even married. She had no home. You know, you don't have to live in the street to not have a home. You can be under a roof and still be homeless. You can have a house and not a home. She had no home. Not only that, but she basically had no help. You have to see her as a person who was despised by her community, and in some cases rightly so, because of the kind of life she was living and the kind of things she was doing. And while they should have been merciful to her and stretching out their hands to her, there's an indication when you read the text that strong probability that she just didn't feel comfortable in her community. She didn't feel like she belonged. You know, she's far away from home as she's trying to draw water, drawing water in the middle of the day as opposed to in the early hours, and probably just not feeling that there were people around her who were on her side. So this is a person who was homeless in that sense, and a person who was helpless in that sense, and a person who was hopeless. You know, she goes all the way to Jacob's well because she thinks that somehow or another she's going to find something there that she can't find in all of the wells that she had to pass to get to that well. You know, she had to pass a whole lot of wells to get from her home to Jacob's well. And she probably did like you and I have done at times. You know, we go past this thing, and we go past that thing, and we walk this distance, we walk that distance, we try the water here, we try the water there, we try it elsewhere, and then we finally say, it's got to be something somewhere. So she finds herself at Jacob's well, and she even asks Jesus, are you greater than Jacob who gave us this well? And then she begins to talk to him a little bit about religion, and she starts saying, you know, you guys worship on this mountain over here, talking about Mount Moriah, you know, where the temple was, but we worship over here at Mount Gerizim, you know, where we have our own little thing. You know, so this is a person who's looking for hope maybe in religion sometimes, maybe in philosophical discussion sometimes, you know, maybe in what she believes the world ought to be. You know, we're expecting Messiah to come anytime now. We're expecting things to get better. You know how it is sometimes. We're just looking for hope but never really finding it. That's what she was. But Jesus, instead of dealing with this issue first, the homeless issue, and then the helpless issue, and then the hopeless issue, he simply said, you know what? God is looking to recruit. In essence, he says, God has an army, and he wants you to be a part of that army. The way the Lord came to me was, he said, look, I'm not going to deal with this issue, that issue, the other issue. I'm going to tell you what God wants. I'm going to tell you, because you can tell me all day, he was saying, you can tell me all day what you want. You can tell me all day what you need. But you're going to be wrong most of the time. You know how it is. Sometimes we go to God and we tell him, well, God, if you do this and if you do that, I'll tell you what I need and so on and so forth. God is like, no, this is not what you need. Here's what you need. You need to be in a position to receive God's invitation. Firstly, to be a worshiper. That's what the Lord said to her. The Lord is looking for people who will worship him the way he ought to be worshiped. Now, you imagine me in a situation, I'm homeless, I'm helpless, I'm hopeless, and God is saying, I've been looking for you. Now, that's a strange thing, you know, because it didn't seem the same way Jesus said to her, you know, I have a need. And she's like, who, what? Are you talking to me? You know what I mean? You know, she said it was beyond her to expect that the Lord would not only speak to her, but tell her that he has a need. And basically what the Lord said was, you know, you can tell me all day about what you need. Let me tell you what I need. I need somebody who will love me the way I deserve to be loved. I need somebody who will worship me the way I deserve to be worshiped. I need somebody who is willing to give me glory and honor. Now, he said to me, basically, look, you know better. You've been out there. You've seen what happens when people worship themselves. And you know what it is when you try to be your own God. And you know all this. And you know this. So I don't have to convince you that you're wrong. I don't have to convince you that it doesn't pay to be your own God. I don't have to convince you that religion is not going to do it, and that philosophy is not going to do it, and that politics is not going to do it. And you know what I'm saying? That's where they thought. You know, that's where she thought. You know, this mountain instead of that mountain, and you know, Messiah is going to come, and he's going to bring in the kingdom, and all this and all that. You know, he said, I don't have to tell you. I don't have to tell you all that. He said, you know that. I'm going to tell you not what you need. I'm going to tell you what I need. I need somebody who's going to honor me. I need somebody who's going to bless me. I need somebody who's going to show me the love and affection that I deserve. I need somebody who's going to make sure that my name is glorified in the earth. I need somebody who is going to be able to say, and this is what God has recruited you to, and God has recruited me to, and this is what God is trying to recruit anybody in this room who's not saved to, this, that you make sure that somewhere on this earth, the creator of this earth and the God of this earth is getting the glory and the praise due his name. See, I have a life's goal. My life's goal is simply this. I'm going to be sure. See, I do this. I try to do this by helping brothers and sisters in Christ. We help each other. We strengthen each other. We encourage each other. But when it's all said and done, at the end of the day, I need to be absolutely certain that there's at least one person on the face of this earth who will give God the glory due his name. So that's your goal. That's my goal. That's your responsibility. You can do everything you can to help me to praise the Lord. You can pray for me. And when you see me walking down the street, you can say, good morning. How you doing? God bless you. Whatever you know I'm talking about, you can strengthen me, encourage me. God gives you a word. You can speak a word to me. And you can help me to grow. You can help me to lift up my voice and to praise God. But the bottom line is, your personal responsibility, because you don't know what I'm going to do. Maybe I'll accept it. Maybe I won't. Maybe I'll receive it. Maybe I won't. You know, but you have a personal responsibility, and that is to be sure that there is somebody praising God. And that means you have got to be certain that you're giving him his proper due, his proper praise. So when God recruited me, basically what he said was, here's what I want you to do. Do what you can to help as many people as you can. But first and foremost, the only way you can be absolutely certain that of the 7 or 8 billion people on the face of this planet, the only way you can be absolutely certain that at least somebody is praising him, somebody's honoring him, somebody's loving him, somebody's worshiping him, the only way you can be absolutely certain is if you do it. So that's my mission in life. That's your mission in life as a Christian, to be certain that God is worshipped. Make sure that at least one person on the face of this planet is giving God praise. But don't stop there. Because he doesn't just want us to be worshipers, he wants us to be witnesses. So she goes out and she begins to tell all her friends and all her neighbors and all the people round about her about this Jesus. See, when God recruits you, he's not just saying, well, I'm going to, you know, stop you from doing drugs. Or I'm going to stop you from getting high. I'm going to stop you from cursing. I'm going to stop you from swearing. I'm going to stop you from. No. He says, no, I got something much, much better for you. He said, first of all, I'm going to make you a worshiper. See, as long as there's somebody praising God, God always has a reason to spare this generation, to give the people in this world one more opportunity to turn. You see that all throughout the scriptures. Secondly, he says, I'm going to make you a witness. Not just a verbal witness, not just somebody speaking things, but somebody's living a life empowered by God to prove to people that God is God. Like we said earlier, every time we give a story, every time we tell a story, it's really his story. I give you a testimony, you give me a testimony. Basically what we're doing is talking about his testimony. We're talking about his praise. We're talking about his glory. So now God recruits us to worship him and recruits us to witness for him, to go on and talk to people about him, to live a life in front of people that they can't deny. See, I can't force my religion or my faith or my this or my that on anybody, but I can make certain that people, if they meet me, they must meet the Jesus, the Holy Spirit of God, who lives in me. So somebody might be able to say to me, you know, I don't really want to hear about your religion. That's fine. You still got to see my God. You still got to see him. You see what I'm saying? So it's not my desire. I don't, when I think about witness, my desire is not to force a track down somebody's throat. That's not my goal. My goal is to say, if you meet me, you see, God lives in me. God lives in you. So if you meet me, you're going to meet God whether you want to or not. That's just the way it works. Do you know what I'm saying? So worshipers, witnesses, and then finally, God is looking to recruit warriors. Not people who can fight in their own strength, because I was helpless. I'm helpless. God is going to make me. He's not calling me because I am a warrior. He's calling me to be a warrior. And to war against what? To war against every lie of the devil. Against everything that had me out there thinking that I had no hope. Every lie that had me out there thinking that there was no help. Every lie out there making me think there was no home for me. That there was no place for me, that I didn't fit. Every single lie of the devil, now God has recruited me to do what I can to smash the teeth of the lion, not by my own strength. I told you, I had no strength. But when God called me, he recruited me. He said, I'm going to make you a worshiper. He said, I'm going to make you a witness. I'm going to make you a warrior. So the Lord went to this woman and made her, you know, to understand God is calling worshipers. So he made her a worshiper. He pointed out to her that he was the Messiah, and she began to bear witness to that reality. Then all of a sudden he made her a witness. Boom, she goes out and she begins to witness these truths. And in doing so, she became a warrior. See, her people were believing lies about God. Jesus said, you guys don't even realize, you don't even know what you're worshiping. She went out and she began to dispel those lies just by her life, just by telling his story. I have something a little bit more than an invitation for you tonight. For those of you who don't know Jesus, but you know that you should know him. Some of you are already beginning to cling to him in your heart. There might be somebody in this house who's already beginning to cling to Christ. You say, Brother Will, I don't even have time to wait for an altar call. I'm going to start believing now. I have something a little bit more than an invitation. I have a recruitment. And I have... You know how you see those posters in the old days where we would say Uncle Sam wants you, that kind of a thing? Well, Uncle Jesus wants you. If you're tired of being homeless, tired of being helpless, tired of being hopeless, you want to be a worshiper. You want to be a warrior. You want to be a witness. And you know you're supposed to be. You know it. Nobody has to tell you. You know that you're created for greater things. You know that your heart should be in his hands. Your life should be in his hands. You're going to have to do something that took me a while to do. You're going to have to ask him for help. Later on, I found, of course, that I was homeless because Christ was my home and I wasn't willing to come in. I found that I was helpless because Christ was my help and I was too proud to ask for help. I found that I was hopeless because Christ was my hope and I was still trying to believe in me. If God is speaking to you tonight, we come together and we pray at the front of this church, and we pray and ask God to help us. We do that all the time here. So this might be your first time ever doing it, but if God is speaking to you tonight and you want to be a Christian, don't you know when you come and you stand up here and you begin to pray, you already begin to worship God? And when people see you come and stand here, you already begin at this early stage, you already begin to witness for God. And when you come and you take a stand for Jesus, you already begin to wage a warfare against the lie of the devil. You already begin to do the things that we as Christians have dedicated our life to. God is recruiting tonight. And you never know where he's going to take you. You never know what he's going to do with your life. You never know how he's going to use you. You never know. And believe me, you've just begun to touch, to scratch the surface of how much he's going to love you, how much he's going to bless you, how he's going to embrace you, how he's going to keep you. Tonight, if God is speaking to you, would you come and pray with me? We're going to believe God together. God is going to take you, and he's going to take this thing that was on this side of the cardboard, and he's going to flip that thing around, and he's going to give you a testimony. Let's stand together in the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. If God is speaking to you, you are so welcome. Come to the front of this auditorium. We will pray with you in the name of the Holy Savior. Amen. Amen. You know, the gospel message, the good news message is that Jesus, he left his heavenly home. He left his home so that he could be a home for us. And the Bible says that he became, in a sense, helpless. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. He became homeless so that he could be our home. He became helpless so that he could be our help. And he became a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, so that he could be hope to us. What Jesus did for us on Calvary's tree is our only hope. It's all that we have. There is nothing else. But we can cling to him now. We don't have to provide our own home. We don't have to be our own help. We don't have to provide our own hope. We can look to him. And when we do that, he takes that cardboard and he just flips that thing around. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. And he makes us different. And then there's no limit. No limit to what he can do. No limit. The God that we serve is a good God. Let's pray together. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you. We thank you for sending your son who is willing to step out of the heavenly glory, left his home, that he could not only provide a home for us, but he could be our home. We can be found in him. Jesus, thank you for laying down your life for us. Thank you for allowing yourself to be led, at least from human perspective, helplessly. We know that you could have called down a legion of angels, but you allowed yourself to be led as a lamb to the slaughter. Thank you for becoming homeless for us and becoming helpless for us. And thank you, Lord, that even though you knew exactly what you were doing and how many lives would be saved, and Lord, you still became a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and so that you could provide for us hope, that you could be our hope. Thank you, Jesus, for laying down your life so that we don't have to die. Thank you that you are the risen Savior, to provide for us everything that we could ever need. But thank you, Lord, that you also let us know that you need us, that you need worshipers, you need witnesses, you need warriors, Lord, and you're not expecting us to be that in ourselves. You chose to recruit us and make us these things. Lord, thank you so much that it's not enough for you that we simply be saved from things, but that we are saved for greater things. Thank you for drawing us into your army and into your family. We love you so very, very much. But I pray for those who are just walking into the door already they're worshipers, already they're witnesses, Lord. Even now they chose to take a stand and to bear witness to your goodness. Lord, already they're waging war against the lies of the enemy. Lord, there are some who have not yet made the decision, but they're looking at these who have. And maybe they'll say along with our brother who said, you know, hey, I'm walking this week because my brother walked there last week. And he saw what I took a little while longer to see. God, these who are standing here are already saving lives, already witnessing, and already waging a war against the lie of the devil. God, I thank you for them. I thank you for my brothers and my sisters, my new family members. I ask you to lay your hand upon each one now, oh God. Overpower every lie of the enemy. Bring a supernatural peace that passes understanding. Let them know that they are your children. We love you. And we thank you. In Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Glory to God.